Today on Rambling About Cars, we have a new Mercedes AMG in the mix. We have sort of a new Cybertruck. We have some Cybertruck info and some things we're going to discuss here in a little bit.
We have some Cybertruck takes.
There you go. That's going to sort of tie into some new Honda news. Really? Honda? And Tesla? You want to stick around. That's going to be good. We've got Ken Block's last dance that we're going to talk about, his final Gymkhana. We've got some emails to read. We've got a lot of good stuff. So let's roll, folks.
That's right.
It's podcast time. I am Christopher Smith, Mr. Chris Bruce across the way. Good to see you, man. Happy Wednesday.
Thank you. While we're waiting for people to join us, have you been doing any fun car related stuff in the past week?
Nope. Okay.
Folks, you can tell I didn't ask him this before.
Nope. Actually, that's not entirely true. I did reorganize the shop. So I have my two 1995 Fords now out in the shop instead of one sitting in the garage taking up valuable space, has not a daily driver. So the daily driven Subaru can come inside out of the cold.
That's good.
That's about the extent. I've been busy doing a lot of holiday decoration. That's what I've been doing.
Oh. Well, I was related to that. You've been posting some pictures in our work chat of where you live, and I reckon you got enough snow to go snowmobiling. So has the snowmobile gotten started yet?
Nope.
Okay. See, folks, I don't ask these questions beforehand.
Strike two. Let's go for three. We've had snow, but it's stayed kind of warm. And then it's melted pretty quick. I mean, I think right now there's maybe an inch or so sitting on the ground. And we're going to be, it's actually, now I'm in northern lower Michigan, on the cusp of the northern lower Michigan, Lake Michigan snow belt. So what does that mean? That means from like late October to March, it's cloudy. Mm-hmm. And if it's not cloudy, it's snowing. So the last few days have actually been sunny, which is kind of weird. Hmm. And I've taken advantage of the not super cold, super crazy winter weather to decorate the house. But yeah, I haven't done anything with cars. I'm hoping to do some car related stuff over Christmas. I'm going to have a week off between Christmas and New Year. So I'm hoping to get out into the shop and, maybe try to get that old show running for once instead of just looking at it and thinking, yeah, I could polish it up, make it look nice. It's like, dumbass, it has to run first.
Group FBC, our buddy here, says, I'm disappointed, Smith, no DeLorean model this week.
I don't have one, guys. It occurred to me, I can't believe it. I don't have one.
Well, Ramblers and also Chris Bruce, I think we know what Smith needs as a Christmas present this year.
No. I've got at last count like 84 unbuilt kits to go along with the 100 and some that are built. Yeah. 85. Okay. I was trying to do a weird Back to the Future thing there. Didn't happen. Maybe we should just roll with the podcast. Well, sure. Bruce, what have you done car stuff? Save the day, man. I'm supposed to be this person that's into cars, and I haven't done crap.
I mean, full disclosure, I have not done much actual car stuff. I finished a model, technically a robot model earlier this week. Not my proudest achievement, Smith. I sent you some pictures. I did okay. I could do better, but I started on a new one and I'm already super proud of this one. I've done a ton of detailing on literally the first part. So super happy with what's going on there, but not much car stuff, like just like driving to the grocery store and stuff, like just like using a car as a car, like nothing too much fun going on here.
I should say, since we have things to talk about, but we've got a little bit of time here. If you can vamp for me just a moment, Bruce, I have been doing a little car related, and I can share a teaser photo with everybody here right now, Ramblers.
Thanks for everyone who's joining us right now. Like, you know, Smith and I, we both enjoy building models, whether they're robots or cars or boats or, you know, whatever. It's always kind of fun for me. It's just a relaxation thing. Honestly, I put on a movie. I zone out. And, you know, you just kind of get it. It's a very zen thing for me. It's not stressful. It's just a relaxation thing. And I really
it's a good thing to note. If you are trying to do a hobby like that and you're feeling like, I just want to get this done. Yeah, that's when you need to stop. Mm-hmm. Because it shouldn't be a case of I need to get this done. It should be a case of I'm enjoying this, because when you feel like you need to get it done, that's when the crap is going to happen. Now, coming up, hopefully, maybe even this week or next week at MotorOne.com, you're finally going to see this.
Oh yeah, your toy series is kind of
we're gonna start a little series, just sort of the coolest toys of our youth, and I think we're gonna open it up. I was initially aiming just my youth, but my youth is kind of boring, so we're gonna open it up a little bit, I think, and we're gonna start with this Matchbox Super Spin Car Wash, and this is this photo that I'm showing right now is a little teaser. This is mine that like 10-year-old Chris had. And when 40-something Chris took it apart, he still found sand from the sandbox that 10-year-old Chris had inside. And it's like, it was just, you know, nostalgia, man. I mean, Gen X millennial nostalgia is huge right now. So I think we're going to be spending a lot of time in the 80s and the 90s on this, but hey, car toys from the 2000s. And this is one that I had. This is an early one. It's got a date stamp in 1981 on it. Super Spin Car Wash. If you don't know what it does just by the name, I don't know if I can say anything more for you. There was a little wash and a little conveyor belt, and you'd run the cars through, and then you'd put them in this spin cycle, and you'd pull a lever and it would spin them dry. And obviously, as this photo shows, I played with mine quite a bit, because I even found that original plastic mat, and the mat was all screwed up. I love, Bruce, can you see all the marks that are like on the exit of the car wash?
I sure can.
I took every car out of there and just did like the biggest drift all the way around on that plastic mat, because there's no scratches on the parking spaces, but the scratches are on there. So that's what I've been working on, just getting that dialed up, getting some fresh photos. I'm very excited to be bringing that up to MotorOne.com very, very soon.
And for folks, we are about to get to the news, but we're kind of doing a little bit of self-promotion right now. So our colleague Angle, he has kind of revived a series back several years ago, like 2018 or so. He had a series called Soviet Cars Were Weird, where he was doing a weekly thing on Soviet cars. He's now doing kind of a version of that with obscure European cars. The first of that went up. It was about the Renault Twingo, which I guess it's not obscure, but still kind of lovely and fun. Smith, you're going to have your toy car series. I've pitched a few, haven't got a green light on anything yet, but yeah, we're going to try to have more like regular series on Motor One, where a writer is going to kind of get to explore the things that they really like. So,
and some of that is underway. I think we've rebooted Concept We Forgot
that's another one
in some format. So MotorOne.com, check us out. Obviously, we're still doing regular daily news. We've got a lot of that to cover today.
Yeah. But
we're really excited about some of the new things that are in the pipeline. Some of the new things are coming. Personally, on my classic toy series, some other previews here for all the Ramblers. We got Super Spin Car Wash. We got Stompers. Who remembers Stompers? That was like huge. It was huge, huge from like 80 to 85 or 86, I think, the monster truck craze. I've got some other sort of things like the Super Spin Car Wash, you know, big car garages, lots of ideas, lots of things that we're going to work in there.
Group FBC, he asked if there's going to be a Multipla in the European car series. I do not know what Angle is planning. I know the Twingo. I always say Twingo or Twingo, and I don't know which one is actually correct. But yeah, I don't know what he's planning, but that will be a weekly series. And we're kind of reviving some of that, just because we all kind of have our passions. And
yes, we do.
You know, we want to write about that stuff.
Super excited. And speaking, Group FBC, thanks for the comment. If you are tuning in for the first time, you're at MotorOne.com, or you're MotorOne.com on Facebook, MotorOne.com Twitter, MotorOne on YouTube. You're tuning in for the first time live right now, and you're saying, How do I interact here? Just type in a comment wherever you're at in the comment section. It comes back to us here in Command Central. We can see the comment. We can share it. We can respond in real time. Just keep it PG-13 because we try to keep it a family-friendly show. And for our audio listeners, we still always, always love you. The new episodes go up every Friday, usually around 9 a.m. Eastern time. You catch us on Spotify. You catch us on Apple. You catch us on Amazon, iHeartRadio, Deezer. I have to say Deezer. I'll be honest. I don't even know if Deezer is still around. I just keep saying that.
It's still around. I should really check. Mostly a thing in France. So
point is, we're on Parlez-vous, the Français. We're on something like a dozen or so streaming platforms. So, and of course, always email us. podcast@motor1.com. We've got a great email we're going to read later on from a rambler, and we can't wait to get to it. But Bruce, how about some news? How about some news time?
So let's go. We finally learned about the AMG version of the new CLE class. And just for anyone out there, the CLE is, so Mercedes has gotten rid of the C-Class coupe. They have gotten rid of the E-Class coupe, and they've also gotten rid of the C-Class convertible and the E-Class convertible. And so the CLE is kind of the amalgamation. It is taking up that rank in the Mercedes-Benz model family. And so the standard models debuted earlier, and now we finally got to see the first AMG version of that.
And it's worth mentioning that this is the first version. This is the CLE 53. We know there's going to be a CLE 63 coming down the pipeline. We've seen the spy photos. If you know your AMG models and you listen to Rambling About Cars, of course you know your AMG models. This one has the quad round exhaust exits at the back. You know that the higher end models have the squared off tips. So we know there's going to be more coming, but what do you get right now, you ask? Well, 443 horsepower, turbocharged inline six engine, makes 413 pound-feet of torque, unless what, Bruce? Unless
for briefly, for 12 seconds.
12 seconds.
Full seconds at a time. it will make 443 pound-feet of torque. Basically, it has a boost mode. So you would have 443 horsepower, 443 pound-feet of torque, For 12 seconds. Yes.
This isn't the first time we've seen an overboost feature on cars like this, but it always cracks me up each time. I mean, I guess, hey, you're rolling on the throttle to pass a vehicle. You can have that little extra oomph. I don't know why you wouldn't just have that little extra oomph all of the time, but
also I wonder, like 30 pound feet of torque. I'm sorry. That's less than 10% of the total output. Like, I wonder if you're actually going to notice that, if I'm being totally honest.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say that my Subaru has an overboost mode. When I hold the gas, you know, hold the throttle at just like 50%, I'm making maybe 100 horsepower. But if I put it all the way down and the RPMs go way up, now I've like doubled my power. Maybe not double, but you know what I mean? It always feels a little gimmicky, but hey, it's neat that it's there. I kind of want a turbo boost button. Just go old school Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Push the button. Okay. Give me the extra boost. Maybe occasionally jump over a bad guy.
I was watching, Fury Road the other night. They've got like the superchargers that they activate and like,
yeah, it's
absurd, but also it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And I mean, yeah, you go back to the old Mad Max. It was Mad Max because that was the second movie. Road Warrior was first, and then Mad Max. He pulls up the little switch, activates the supercharger, but then he sees his fuel going down, so he shuts it off.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. That's not going to make any difference. Plus, it wouldn't work in the first place. Doesn't matter. I would still want to have one. But
of course,
we were actually talking about the CLE 53. We did ramble a little bit there.
There's nothing wrong. That's why people are here. It does have a 48-volt mild hybrid system. So mm-hmm. in addition to the turbocharged engine and stuff we were talking about, it also has rear-wheel steering. The rear wheels can steer up to 2.5 degrees in either direction, depending on how you're steering and the vehicle speed. And it's smart, you know, like if you're on the highway, what they'll steer in to make steering a little bit less
above,
and then,
above 60 miles per hour. Yep. It's parallel when you're above 60 miles an hour, which helps for stability. And I think that's a smart idea just from a safety standpoint. And then at lower speeds, they'll turn counter to the front wheels.
Right.
To just and give you a little bit more maneuverability.
Yep.
No, I think that's a great idea. You mentioned the 48 volt mild hybrid, just about everything has that these days. 19 inch wheels, 20 inch wheels are optional. I almost had the wheels confused.
Brakes.
Yeah, 14.6 inch front brakes. Obviously, it's going to get AMG upgraded brakes. They're four piston brakes, 14.2 inches in the rear. It's not just, hey, let's take the CLE and give it a little more power and some bigger wheels. It's actually a little bit wider. You've got wider front rear fenders, 2.3 inches in front, 3 inches in back. So that kind of just gives it a little bit of a beefier AMG stance. It's got the AMG Performance Studio package that's available. And I just love that. I love that name, the Performance Studio package. It feels so, what's the word I'm looking for? It feels so enriching. You know, this isn't just like, I'll take the level two package. No. I want the Performance Studio package.
There you go.
And that gets you the bigger wing. It gets you a diffuser on the back. AMG stuff. Inside, I mean, you already know what the CLE looks like. This is pretty much the same. It's got the really neat screens inside. I think it looks pretty good inside. Of course, you're going to have the red trim in the interior. You have to have the red trim when it's a performance vehicle. One thing we don't know, bummer, is price. We don't know what that's going to be yet. That'll be announced when it goes on sale, which is going to happen sometime next year.
I will say, so frequent commenter Eric Nefron asks, do you think the 63 will have the V8 or a more aggressive hybrid system? I had to guess.
Good question.
I would say more aggressive hybrid system, maybe a plug-in, because, and I will share this, I'm going to stop sharing this screen and I'll start sharing this screen. Mercedes has said that they are not going to put the V8 in the C or E class. Now, granted, this is the CLE, so it's slightly different, but it makes me wonder, you know, whether they would do that here.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for that question, by the way. That's actually a point that I was going to raise up here in our discussion. Since we have the CLE 53, what might the 63 be like? There are a couple trains of thought on this right now. Obviously, one is taking the hybrid system from the C63, which is what, 671 horsepower? It's the four-cylinder hybrid system.
My head.
Or a possible hybrid system using this inline six that could be even more powerful. That's what we're hearing right now floating around, but obviously nothing is confirmed at this point. I don't really know what to expect.
If you ask me, if I was in Vegas and you said bet on it, I would say more potent hybrid over V8. I don't know that for certain.
I don't think there'll be a V8 at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I would bet more potent hybrid would be my guess. But
the question is whether they go with the four cylinder or they do a six. Well,
they've already got the inline six in this. They're not going to go for a four cylinder on the more. That wouldn't make sense.
But why not? It's not about the engine. It's about the power, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, I know there's this line of thought where, okay, if you are going to have the higher spec AMG model, it must have a larger engine. I don't know that I follow that. It's what the engine is doing that matters.
Sure.
So if you have a smaller engine, just turbocharged to the nth degree with a plug-in hybrid system adding extra power from the motors. I mean, if it's technically a smaller engine, but the output is 200 horsepower more, it's like, who cares?
So there you go, Eric Nefron. We don't think it'll be the V8, but we don't exactly know what it's going to be. But I, if I, again, if I had to put money down, I would say more potent hybrid. But
I mean, the four cylinder setup, I mean, that's already there.
Yes.
It's already established.
Yes.
Whether it plugs in very easily into the CLE versus the C class, you know, that's a question for the engineers to answer.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. Group FBC says, I think there's significant pushback from AMG customers regarding the C63 with a four cylinder. I've heard that as well, that, you know, I'm buying the ultimate C class. And at times it has either been an inline six briefly in it, you know, what was that? The C43 AMG C36, I think. And then it's been kind of a V8 ever since then. So yeah, I've heard that as well. But we have to wait and see. We don't know the answer yet. This is just kind of us rambling about cars.
How about that? What a concept. Yep. And honestly, I mean, I hear that too, but my experience in this business, the ones that are the most vocal aren't necessarily the ones that are doing the buying anyways. So
yeah.
I would like to see some sales stats from Mercedes to see how the new four cylinder with 671 horsepower is doing, because hey, a V8 is nice. I like V8s as much as anybody else. I also like power and performance. Yeah. So if I'm getting more performance out of the four cylinder versus the V8, I'll just go with the four.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've had the full discussion there. Now, unfortunately, we have to talk about something that's kind of bittersweet. And
there is some bittersweetness going on here. And for me, because I did have a personal connection to Ken Block. We weren't on speed dial or anything, but I had the occasion to meet with him, and just hang out a couple times, over the course of his career. He was just a super down to earth guy. I will never forget having dinner with him at 2010, ahead of the Snowdrift Rally here in Michigan. We were at a fairly fancy restaurant. It was a meaty thing, but we were there for a while. The restaurant completely botched the order, and I mean, he was just like, yeah, okay, let's talk about my Mark II Escort. I mean, it's just completely smooth. He's like, I think you were supposed to get the salad. That's cool. I'm really wanting to get, you know, a Ford RS, an RS200. It's just nothing, man.
I wasn't there, obviously, but I assume just from seeing him, I assume, is the food hot and is the beer cold? And after that, he didn't really care.
Yeah, I mean, it was just super chill. And I mean, he loved cars. He loved talking about cars. I had a chance to talk with him too on non-media events, just mm-hmm. the same way. So, we're talking about this. We should probably point this out. Electricana 2 has just dropped. It dropped, earlier this morning, Eastern time, 9 a.m. Yep. Eastern time. Electricana 2 is his latest Gymkhana video. Well, of course,
his last,
it's his last Gymkhana video. Featuring the Audi S1 e-tron, Hunatron, in Mexico City. And yeah, it's his last one for obvious reasons.
Yeah, he passed away last year. We talked about it on the show when he passed away. It was really kind of a freak accident.
A freak snowmobile accident. So yeah, Bruce, when you started the show, hey, Smith, do you got enough snow to go snowmobiling yet? It was a tragic accident. And we knew, I remember hearing not long after, the accident, you know, there was discussion. Okay. I mean, we filmed another one, whether it ever shows up or not, you know, we didn't know. Well, now we know it's here. Audi S1 Hunatron in Mexico City this time around. It's the video. The entire video is 11 minutes long. The Gymkhana action itself, I think, is around 7-ish minutes, because there's a really nice ending. Have you had a chance to see the video yet, Bruce?
I have, yes. But I was going to say, from what I had heard when he passed is that this video wasn't completely finished. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but like maybe that there was some other stuff they were going to do or what have you. And obviously that never got to happen. Mm-hmm. So this one at 7 minutes, it is shorter than the other Gymkhana videos, but that there's kind of a reason for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we go through various sections of Mexico City. It's a Ken Block Gymkhana video. I don't want to sit here and say it's kind of been done. There was a lot of sliding, a lot of donuts, a lot of near misses, a few near hits on this. And I mentioned this in the article that I wrote up. We're never told how much this one-off Audi S1 Hoonitron, this e-tron, is actually worth. But we've heard the term millions tossed around quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And there are a few moments in this video where broken parts are flying off of it. So, I mean, he was definitely going forward or definitely going for it. Yeah, I mean, you'll want to go check it out. We have a link here in our YouTube description to get you over to the video. There are a few things in this clip that I want to mention. One, you see right in the very beginning, yep. And the Hoonigans, their social channels, they were talking a little bit about this leading up to the video. They're saying, okay, we have this electric vehicle that can operate very differently from a combustion vehicle. One of those things being independent control of the front and rear axles. Mm-hmm. And we see that displayed right in the very beginning. He does, I guess, an all-wheel drive burnout. But
that's
it's not even quite
the right word for it.
It's not chained to anything. The front wheels are set in reverse. The rear wheels are set forward. Correct. And then he just punches the gas and the car just kind of moves around a little bit as it's, I guess, having a reverse tug of war with itself. The front's pushing back, the rear's pushing forward. The result, as you can imagine, is gobs of tire smoke. But I mean, it's something we've never seen before and it's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the video, as he gets over to the airport, they film some segments there at the airport. Nice long open stretch. Electric motors, they can switch between going forward and reverse, just, you know, like a switch. You shut it off. Yeah, immediately. You're not grinding gears or anything. It's just the motor switch over. So he's utilizing that functionality to do. And I want to make clear, I have created this term. I don't know if it's the official term. Just the Hoonitron J-turn is what I'm calling it, because if you've ever seen like a stunt driver do a J-turn, you're going fast in reverse, you flip the wheel around, you spin the front end around, as the car is spinning around, you shift from reverse to whatever forward gear. I mean, if it's an automatic, you just pull it down into drive. If it's a manual, you're probably shifting to first or second. You flip it around, you step back on the gas. You never really come to a complete stop, but you do a quick change of direction. And you almost come to a stop. Mm-hmm. With the Hoonitron here, he doesn't really come to a stop. He's going backwards, or no, if I remember correctly, he's going forward. The car spins backwards 180. He doesn't really lose much speed. And of course, there's a big cloud of smoke when he does the spin, but all of a sudden he's just going backwards at a pretty healthy rate. And then the car spins around again. There's more smoke. Does another 180. Now he's going forward again. Doesn't really loses some speed, but not all of it. It's a very cool maneuver. They got it on camera from a nice wide angle shot, so you can see it happen very, very easily. And it's, again, we've talked about, you know, the various advantages of electric power, electric performance here on the podcast.
For anyone watching on video, we're basically seeing it right here.
Yeah, we just saw it there. It's about 7 minutes, 15 seconds into the video, if I remember correctly, from plugging it into the article. So, different things that you can do that you wouldn't be able to do in a combustion car. So, bring on the electric revolution. The front wheels and rear wheels spinning in different directions, I think, would just be loads of fun. You'd have to have a lot of power, obviously, to just overcome the forces going on from each one there.
Oh, we can check that box.
Yeah. There's plenty of power in the Hootatron. But I mean, that's it. Electrocana 2. It's the last Gymkhana video from Ken Block. It's really good to see him in action again. You get to the end of the video, of course, like all of the other Gymkhana videos, they plug in some fun, nifty scenes. There's a really poignant scene where it's kind of cutting to him in the car, and they're saying basically, you know, that's a wrap. And he's like, okay, we're finished. And it's just one of those moments where it's like, okay, or you know, we're done. That's a wrap. And then we get a little montage of all the other Gymkhana videos through the years, going back to the first one in 2008. Bruce, I got to ask you a question. And Ramblers, if you're listening out there, we got a comment here from Group FBC. Bruce, you might want to cut off the video.
I can do that.
Facebook stream, but YouTube just cut us off to playing the clip too long.
Oh.
So, yeah, we probably should have only had a little portion of that clip in there.
Never thought about that.
So we'll keep trucking here. We'll keep trucking.
Thanks, YouTube.
Well, we probably should only cut a little bit off on that.
Oh man, what should we do here, Smith? I see Ted Adam Green saying, "Poor Bruce and Smith. Wonder if they can get back on."
We'll just keep trucking here. But we'll jump in on the backside, see what we can do on the YouTube front. But Bruce, I wanted to ask, and for the Ramblers out there, and for those also still on audio, on Spotify, on Apple, wherever you're at, email us podcast@modern1.com. Your favorite Gymkhana.
I'm still kind of processing this, Smith. I thought muting the audio, we would be okay. I didn't think. Dude, I guess I messed us up. I apologize.
Could be an issue. We'll work on the back end here to see if we can get some stuff going back on YouTube here. If we can't, we'll still have copies up here that we'll be able to get to people. We'll be able to make it happen. We'll be able to fix it in post. We can fix it in post.
I'm kind of upset right now, if I'm being totally honest with you. God, we can, too bad I don't have the Facebook. I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't even think of that because I had it muted.
We can fix it in post. We can fix it in post. But Bruce, let's just kind of bump along here.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk to me. Talk to me about your favorite Gymkhana videos.
Oof. I don't know which number it is. I'll be totally honest with you. But the one where he had the Mustang, the all-wheel drive Mustang, I think is kind of one of the best ones. Where he had, what was it, 67, 66 Mustang.
So you're talking about the Hoonicorn. I think that's going to be, was that Gymkhana 7 or Gymkhana 8?
Maybe it's, okay.
I think it was either 7 or 8 where he is jumping into, I think that was the California episode, the LA episode. Where he might have been jumping in there.
Sorry, I'm responding to our listeners and telling them I'm sorry, and we're still on Facebook and Twitter.
We're still kicking it on Facebook and Twitter here. We will have a video back up on YouTube. We might have to upload it after the fact, but we will have a video back up on YouTube.
Yeah, it'll probably be a tomorrow thing because we'll need to get with Smith and I are two dumb guys and don't know how YouTube works. Oh man.
Let's
talk cars. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking cars. Cause I was thinking about this before the episode. I know there was a general build up to Gymkhana 10. Cause if you remember, 10 was like five vehicles, five locations all around the world. Yes. He had the Hoonitron or the Hoonicorn, the Mark II Escort, a lot of vehicles. Yes. But I gotta think that the series probably peaked around 4 or 5. And I hate to say that being a fan, but 4 was their sort of Hollywood episode where they went through and they just kind of parodied a bunch of like Hollywood movies. There were some pretty neat stunts in there, but it was just the atmosphere was really entertaining, I think. Mm-hmm. And then 5 was where they were in San Francisco, I think. And they had some aggressive jumps, some aggressive slides. And that one was
Smith, it's interesting. You know the numbers better than me, but I know like the settings. Like there was the one where it was at the docks, and that was an early one. I want to say that was 4, 3, 4, something like that. One with the Fiesta or the last one with the Subaru. And that one I remember being fantastic. So yeah, it would be one of those. It would be either the first Hoonicorn one or whichever one he was at the docks with and was like, you know, basically sliding the rear wheel off of the water and stuff like that. Or off of the dock over the water. Yeah.
There was one early on, but I think the one you're thinking of might be one of the later ones. Maybe 6 or 7. I would have to look it back up. But of course, I mean, in addition to the Gymkhana ones, I mean, he also did like a couple extras. There was one with the truck where they were doing a hill climb. There was the one with the Hoonicorn where they were going up Pikes Peak, where he almost drove off Pikes Peak. So yeah, a lot of good stuff there. Ramblers out there, the ones that are still with us, jump into the comments if you have an opinion on your favorite Gymkhana. And email us podcast@motorone.com. Let us know. Something we'd be happy certainly to talk about next week or in the weeks to come here. I will say this, Electrikana 2, I checked shortly before we started this evening. 8 hours, 557,000 views. So
it's not bad.
So you know, yeah. I mean people are obviously tuning in. It's his last one. So but now we'll see what happens with Leah. She's certainly doing a little more action in the fold. So
whatchamacallit development program, was it Formula One? No,
Williams racing team. Yes. Yep. But she recently did an exhibition out in Las Vegas during SEMA, where she jumped into the Hoonicorn. Of course, she was driving the Hoonicorn like a few years ago in their This Versus That series, where it's like, hey, we'll put this teenage girl in this ridiculously high-powered race car. And we didn't do any write-up on this at Motor One, but I mean, I caught it. I follow a lot of the I follow several like Hoonigan and several of the Block family on socials. And she got into the Hoonicorn and freaking killed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just like doing the donuts underneath airplanes that are hanging up. Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff. So yeah. Little bittersweet here today, but we've got a little bit more to talk about. We should probably head on over to we were talking about this ahead of time, Bruce.
We were. Hey, we've already driven off all of our listeners. Let's drive off the rest of them.
No. Well, so Cybertruck, we talked a little bit about Cybertruck last week, just before it debuted. It's debuted. Odds are you've probably heard that it's debuted. You've probably heard all about it. You've probably heard the pro-Tesla people say how amazing it is. You've probably heard the anti-Tesla people say how ridiculous and terrible it is. We have some stats, but you know what? You can go to MotorOne.com and see all kinds of stats. We thought, let's talk a little bit about the truck. Just from like a purely factual standpoint, I mean, obviously we have some opinions that we're going to toss in here, but we're not going to.
purely factual. You talked about this. Everyone at this point, the truck debuted a week ago as we're recording this. And by the time the show goes up on YouTube, it'll be over a week ago. People know all of the stats. This is our take on the Cybertruck.
And what, Bruce, why don't you give us just a little bit of insight here? I want to lean on you first, because you, I think, were updating something that a lot of people haven't talked about. And that's like the cargo capability, the towing versus some other trucks. Now that we have all of that confirmed.
Yes.
Do you think the Cybertruck still makes sense as a truck?
The immediate question I have for you is, does it make sense for what person? I'll elaborate. I can kind of go into this. It beats the other electric trucks on the market right now. It beats the F-150 Lightning. It beats the Hummer EV. It beats the Rivian R1T. It does not beat, especially when you consider its size, the full-size versions of the F-150 or the Ram or the Silverado and stuff like that. These are, they can either, their payloads, I think, I'd have to pull up the story. I apologize. I should have had it up. Basically, they have the same or slightly better payloads, and they have better tow ratings than the Cybertruck does. So if you're someone who is actually going to use your truck, and I mean that literally, you're a farmer, you're a construction worker, you're someone who needs a truck to use it, I don't know that right now the Tesla Cybertruck is the right choice for you. If, however, you're someone who sometimes needs a truck and you have the money to afford this, it is, in terms of the electric trucks that are out there, it beats the competition. So I'm not trying to, be wishy-washy here, but it's kind of a maybe. It doesn't beat the combustion powered trucks that are out there, but it does beat the electric trucks. So if you want an electric truck, this is a good electric truck.
Well, you mentioned price, and let me just kind of to zoom in on that for a moment. We do have some pricing.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, if you didn't already catch it, it's way more expensive than when it was originally announced 4 years ago. The cheapest Cybertruck, $60,990. That's the two-wheel drive, single-motor version that isn't going to be out until 2025. So let's just kind of...
Thank you for noticing. Yes, I was going to make that point.
Let's just move that off to the side right now. The least expensive model you'll be able to get the soonest is going to be the dual-motor all-wheel drive, and that's $79,990. So $80,000. It's not cheap, but
no,
there are quite a few combustion pickup trucks that are in that range. Not just necessarily like the Raptor R's or the TRXs. I mean, I'm putting together a 2024 Chevrolet buyer's guide right now, and you can get fully optioned Silverados in 1500, and especially in HD trim, running up into that price range. The Ford F-150 Lightning, is in that range. And mind you, the dual motor, version of the Cybertruck, that's still what here, 600 horsepower. Let me just double check my figures. Yep. 600 horsepower, 0-60 in 4.1 seconds. So it's right there in terms of the Lightning, at least. The Cyber Beast is $100,000, right? But yes. Again, when you're talking about, I guess you'd say Halo trucks, Raptor R, Ram TRX, they're reaching up to $100,000 all day long. So I don't know that it's really extraordinarily out of its league here in price. And the Cyber Beast is tri-motor.
6,800
pounds, which is actually a little bit light. I mean, it's not light, but it's a little bit lighter than I was expecting.
But still, that's heavy-duty truck territory.
Yeah.
That's, Ram 2500 or... you know, Ford Super Duty or, you know, Silverado 2500 territory. Mm-hmm. And those trucks can, they have better payload and they have better tow ratings. They're not as fast. They're definitely not as fast, but it's, you know, it, again, it comes back to what are you doing with your pickup truck? Do you plan to use your truck to do work? I don't know that the Tesla Cybertruck is the one to pick, but if you are willing to take on those compromises and you want a truck and it's, you want it to be really stylish, then yeah, maybe the Tesla Cybertruck's right for you.
And here's something else that I'll mention here, because I saw this, I can't remember exactly where I saw it reported or discussed. It was an opinion basically pointing to the Cybertruck is almost functioning as a halo vehicle in this perspective. It's sort of like the Aston Martin Lagonda. It's so wild in its look. It's so different that it's not supposed to appeal to a typical truck person. It's kind of setting its own standard. I haven't seen anybody that said they really love how it looks, but it certainly has a dynamic, distinctive styling about it. Because of that, I wonder if, even though it might have some capability, you know, certainly some good capability as a truck, if it will ever really be viewed as or used in that manner. And is that maybe the intention all along? I'm maybe getting a little philosophical here. Is this designed to be an actual truck, or is its mission really to be a vision of what the next generation pickup truck could be? Because Jason Kamisa's video with Haggerty actually was very, very interesting to me. If you haven't seen it, we actually have a link of a story at Motor One with a bunch of different things from different outlets that you can check out. He had a lot of positive things to say about the truck. And just knowing what I know about him, I trust what he says. I think he's I think he has some very interesting insight. He's talking about just the construction, the performance, the technology, the steer by wire. That he was like, you know, this takes a little getting used to, but once you get used to it, it's like, why haven't we had this before? Well, I mean, not having a mechanical backup, I think is a little
right, because that's the concerning. Infinity system is that Infinity has had drive by wire and it was panned terribly, but that did have a mechanical backup system, you know, in case it failed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, so some interesting takes there. I mean, Bruce, I got a little philosophical there. Hopefully I didn't get too deep for you.
No, you know, Tesla is a weird company. I think we just have to be honest there. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that they showed it being shot by multiple guns.
I don't care about that. I mean, no, it's just,
and
it's
nor
just,
should you.
It's shock value. Oh, it look, is. I can shoot. Okay, that doesn't really mean anything to me.
No.
Especially
since our colleagues at Inside EVs did a very good story about that, where they were using subsonic ammunition that basically they kind of pick and chose the ammunition that they use mm-hmm. to make sure that it wouldn't go through the skin. But I'm not going to go into that. Look into our folks at Inside EVs. They did a fantastic write-up about mm-hmm. that.
They also did, let me just jump in there, because there was a lot of hubbub about the drag race that they did during that little debut, where they were showing the Cybertruck racing a Porsche 911, and then they zoom out and, oh, look, the Cybertruck beat a Porsche 911 while towing a Porsche 911. And our Inside EVs folks did a really great report. It was discovered that, okay, well, that race was an 8th mile race. And also we have no idea which 911 it was racing. Not to say that the Cybertruck is slow. It certainly has all kinds of pretty impressive power.
But it's still valid when an automaker is touting that, when they show a video during their presentation, oh, it's faster than a 911 while it's towing a 911.
And yeah, I mean, do you really need to resort to those gimmicks?
Exactly.
And that's kind of what I wanted to do a little bit here with our Cybertruck discussion, because there are, like I said, there are the protestal people that are just pushing the narrative way too hard. And there are the anti-Tesla people where it's like, even if this actually has some really brilliant design, and I think there is a lot of positive to say here about the design of the truck and about its strength, I want to see legitimate crash test studies done, not just for the survivability of the truck, but for the occupants inside, because that's more important to me than pretty much anything else. I don't care if you make a really strong, rigid structure. How well does it protect the people inside? I'm very curious to see how those crash tests, those studies will come out. But I think there's a lot of good happening here. I'm a little sad that it might get washed away by the people that just don't like the truck styling, that don't like Musk, and are just going to brush it under the rug. So that was kind of a little bit of what I had in mind with our Cybertruck discussion.
Yeah, it's a complicated vehicle because, in the modern world, being a centrist, people do not like a centrist in the modern world, that if you can't get on some side of the poles on either side of things, people kind of judge you and look down on you on that. But I think there is a lot of things about this vehicle that are cool. And I think there are things about this vehicle that are crap. And some of them just have to do the way it was presented. Some of them have to do with the fact that a handful of people in this world have actually gotten to drive one. Mm-hmm. It's probably outside of people at Tesla, it's probably 50.
I don't even have a number. It's a handful. It'd be a handful.
It's sub 100. And so it's difficult to make a conclusion about a vehicle when so few people have actually experienced it in the production version, because, a lot of the folks who put out those reviews of them, they were driving pre-production versions of the vehicle. Marquis Brownlee, he came out and admitted in his video, and I really appreciate that this was a pre-production version of the truck. And so while his conclusions are really good, and I actually recommend people to go out and watch his video, it's still a pre-production vehicle. Who the hell knows what happens between that vehicle and the 10th one that's made and 50,000th one that's made. Like, we all know that vehicles, as they go through production, there are little changes that happen. They figure like, oh, this doesn't quite work, or this component, things change. And it's really difficult right now because I don't think we have all of the information about the Cybertruck to make a final conclusion on it.
Right. No, you can go to their website right now. You can pull up a lot of stats. I'm certainly curious to see what the single motor is going to be like. At this point, I think I have to reserve judgment until I drive it for myself. But I also really want to see the safety ratings for occupants through crash testing on this. And I mean, who knows when that's going to come out? We can say, Tesla has pretty good scores for its other vehicles when it comes to crashworthiness and safety. So we'll just have to hold on until we get a little more information on that. But we couldn't not talk a little bit of Cybertruck, just because this has been 4 years in the making. We finally got some information last week. And I will say, personally,
the hottest topic of discussion of a vehicle this year.
Right. And I will say personally that I came away from it all not necessarily being impressed, but finding myself saying, okay, there's a lot of this that I like. There's been a lot of hype building up. I was ready to just kind of want to trash on it. And things have changed since things have certainly changed in the last 4 years. So
yes,
things have changed for everybody, not just Tesla. So yeah, prices are up. We're not seeing the 500 mile range model, at least not yet. Although there is a range, there's kind of a novel range extending battery that you can buy.
Are we getting into this? Okay.
I think it's like an extra 16 grand that sits in the back of the truck and takes up payload space, but that'll get you, I think, 470 miles on the dual motor truck. So it's,
well, also, I don't know if you've noticed this, Smith, it takes up. So Tesla is offering an optional spare full-size spare tire that takes up that same space. So you get the choice. Do I want to pay for an optional full-size spare tire, or do I want to pay for an optional range extender? Or they're both options. You can pay for neither, but it's interesting that, you know, they couldn't find a better way to package either one of those systems, whether the range extender goes under the vehicle, whether the tire goes under the vehicle, whether one goes in the bed, one goes under the vehicle. Like, you would think for a company that's so set on engineering, they could figure that out, and yet they didn't.
I mean, I've seen some pretty ridiculous things done by automakers.
I know
when it comes to spare tires, it's almost like an afterthought. So I'll just reserve judgment on that. But yeah, that's Tesla fair. Cybertruck. Of course, send us your opinions, podcast or motorone.com. Let's switch gears to something that we don't think is going to be similar, but with the teaser we got, we weren't really sure. Bruce, you wrote this one up.
I did write this up.
Let's jump into some Honda talk.
This was something. This is something we literally just learned about yesterday. I wrote it up yesterday, and it went up this morning at 9 a.m. And it is Honda's new global EV. And it will premiere at CES in January. And this is the single image that they gave us. And this is actually a brightened version of that image. Our good pal, Kyle Freudenberg, who's been on the show, he is a Photoshop whiz. So he brightened up the image.
Yeah, I want to be clear. We didn't manipulate. We didn't change anything. We just increased some brightness. This is the teaser photo, just with more lights, we can actually see what's going on. And that,
yeah, it's just adjusted values.
That looks very wedgy and very, very wedgy and edgy.
It looks very Cybertruck. And I just wonder, and the fact that Toyota, that Honda is saying this is a global vehicle, and they're, you know, the company CEO and one of their global VPs, so Honda global CEO Toshiro Mibe and global executive vice president Shinji Aoyama, they will be at CES showing off this vehicle. So this is not like some rank and file member. These are two of the top guys. We've got top men on this project showing it off. And it's interesting. And what this initially made me think was, wow, has the Cybertruck already become so influential that wedge styling is back? Because you look at this, and this is clearly the front end of a vehicle. You see this super hard line. You see this kind of very cut off front fascia and a front splitter. And you've got this, you know, I don't know. I think I described it in the story as like these overlapping louvers for the wheels. It's not only is it very like angular and sharp and things like that, but it's also very Cybertruck to me. And so I wonder, like, is this really a vehicle that's going to happen? And we don't know yet, but the fact that this is the image that Honda's releasing, it feels like they're at least wanting to. And the fact that it came, 3 days after the Cybertruck debuted, that it feels like they're kind of trying to follow in that aesthetic kind of groove.
Now, here's where I'm going to ask a question.
Rupa says I'm wrong. He said, I'm not seeing the Cybertruck connection. I disagree with you, but
not seeing the Cybertruck connection.
Yeah.
No, that's not me reading his comment. That's me saying, sorry, Bruce, I don't see the Cybertruck connection.
Really?
So I'm with you, Group FBC. I'm not. The only connection I see is just that very sharply creased that sharply angled body line. But that doesn't necessarily mean the rest of this vehicle is going to be oddly shaped or just, you know, an exercise in geometry.
But how else could you craft a vehicle and have that sharp and just razor-like front end and then not do it for the rest of the vehicle, though?
It looks like a wedge shape. I mean, it looks like the front of a wedge. And how many wedge cars have we seen from the 80s?
That's true.
That look nothing like Cybertruck. My takeaway is that maybe we're seeing some Hyundai influence here. Because I think when you start talking about a lot of the cleaner vehicle designs in the last couple of years, Hyundai is coming to my mind first and foremost.
Sure.
Of course, there was the Envision 74, which everybody just loves.
Child. Yeah.
A lot of their vehicles now are coming out. What was it? Is it the new Santa Fe or Tucson? I can't remember which. That has just a much cleaner look to it. I think I'm thinking of the Tucson.
I think you are. Yes.
That just has a very symmetrical look to it. BMW, their Neue Klasse.
The Neue Klasse. Yeah.
The Neue Klasse. We're seeing some automakers trend in that direction. Others are still kind of staying the course with how many contrasting angles can we put into one small area. I think Honda is trending towards the cleaner look here, and I'm very anxious to see what else is behind that very, very concept-y front wheel.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be like a Cybertruck.
I still disagree with you there. I think that this is my opinion. I think Tesla established the return of the super hard angular design, and automakers are starting to follow that. But apparently, between you and Group FBC and, you know, other listeners, viewers, you guys disagree with me, and I totally respect that. I could be wrong, but that's just the way I see these things. That being said, I want to see the rest of this car. I want to see how they blend the rest of this, because we're assuming it's the front end by looking at it. Technically, it could be the rear end. It could be the rear end, maybe. Am I wrong?
I mean, damn it, Bruce. I mean, we're assuming that's a grill, but what if that's just... what if that's just a stylized rear fascia?
Yeah.
I guess we don't see any headlights here, do we?
No, but we don't see taillights either.
We don't see any taillights either. So it's an astute point. Well, point being, this will debut at CES, and unless I'm mistaken, Honda will also announce just overall plans for their whole future lineup of electric vehicles.
Yes, they will.
So I'm not sure if there's going to be more from Honda at CES, but there will at least be this.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that you have the boss and the boss's right-hand man there, it suggests we're going to get a big announcement. You don't get those people to come to a show if there's not going to be something of something.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, that's Honda. More on Honda to come. I think, Bruce, let's because we finally have some time. And, of course, we're always saying, people, email us, please, podcast@motorone.com. We love to read about your stories. And we got one from longtime listener Ted Adam Green. And, Ted, you sent this a couple weeks ago.
I hope he was able to rejoin us at this point.
I think he's back in there. But yeah, hey, we're going to read the email here. This is a great email. I mean, we ask people to email, hey, give us your thoughts on what we talked about, give us some opinions on some of the topics, or just share some of your car stories. And Ted sent us a car story. And it's about a place that a lot of people know about. I think quite a few people have been. If you're not familiar with Tale of the Dragon, it is an epic road. It's a public road.
And Adam Green is with us, so great.
It's awesome. I'm trying to remember which two states it's on the border of.
Tennessee?
Is it Tennessee and North Carolina, I think?
That sounds right.
Right in there where it's winding Tennessee, up in the Appalachian.
I'm almost positive of.
Where it's winding up. You can tell I've been there. I've not been there.
Here. You know what?
And
look it up while you're talking.
Go ahead and look it up because we do have the power of the internet at our fingertips. And let me read this email from Ted. And again, appreciate you sending this in. Hey guys, this is a long email I had to share. This was my first time, and I took my daughter Emily, who often goes to Caffeine and Octane as part of my 55th birthday celebration, went to Tale of the Dragon.
And I just looked it up. You're right. It is Tennessee and North Carolina.
Here is Ted's recap of the day. Tale of the Dragon, believe the hype. For 11 miles, it is a near constant change in elevation and direction, constantly up, down, left, right, forward, back, BA, select, start. Sorry, I had a Nintendo code flashback there. Up, up, down, down, left, left, right, right, BA, select, start. Yes. With many turns being a near complete 180 degrees, it's a ton of fun, most I've ever had driving by far. If you don't act responsibly, know your limits and your car's limits. Yes, it can be absolutely anywhere on the scale from dangerous to deadly. I thank you for pointing that out. I mean, we hear a lot of Tale of the Dragon stories where people go, and I mean, this is a public road. I think there's 30 or 35 mile an hour speed limit. Yeah. It's known for being this wonderful twisting, winding road, but it is a public road. And I've seen so many people head out there with the idea, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'll mount up my racing tires and we'll go. No, this is a public road. Try to enjoy yourself, but be responsible. Know the limits of your car. As Ted says, if you know your limits and your car's limits and commit to driving well within them, you will be rewarded with one of the best drives out there that the great continental 48 states have to offer. Use the pullouts for two things: to let those faster go past, and for those slower who don't know to pull over or just won't pull over, to get way ahead. So you pull over, let them get way ahead, yeah, so you can go and have a good little run for a little while. Then pull back over, let them go ahead again. Totally worth it. Also, drive what you have and enjoy. I remember a work trip that I took. Oh, it feels like a different lifetime ago at this point. But I was down south in an older Chevrolet Tahoe work vehicle visiting customers. And I had the opportunity to go up through the Ozarks. And instead of just shooting straight up the highway, I took one of the twisty backways. Mm-hmm. One of the best drives I've ever had. The Tahoe was terrible. It was a terrible vehicle to drive on a road trip. It's comfy, but it was a terrible vehicle to drive. Doesn't matter. I still enjoyed the drive. I still had a great time. Ted, I want to thank you for mentioning that and for saying it that way. Drive what you have and enjoy it. You absolutely can. Would it have been better in a sports car? Yeah, probably. But it's still one of the more memorable drives that I've had. Ted drove his 5-year-old 170,000-mile 2019 Hyundai Veloster Base 2.0 Auto. Not exactly a top choice in most opinions. Not bad. It's a fun little hatch. It's been my car, and it handles beyond my limits, so it's good. If not a bit underpowered at times, get up there in elevation a little bit. You'll lose a little bit. What's the elevation up there, Bruce? It's not – I mean, we're talking about a mountain drive, but it's not – if I remember correctly, we're talking like maybe 3,000. Like
3,500?
Yeah, okay. 3,000 or 3,500 feet. You're not – I think at that level, you're only going to – you're not going to lose but maybe 10 or 15% power at that point. And I'm trying to remember –
for anyone was out in South Dakota. Listening, Ted Adam Green is in our chat, and he said, yes, it's a 35-mile-an-hour road. It used to be 55, but I couldn't even drive 55. So you're no Sammy Hagar there, Ted Adam Green.
His email continues. I stayed away from the brakes as much as possible, let my selected gear shifter do a lot of the work. If you had a manual, you may not even have to touch the brakes at all. We went up from Deal's Gap end to the other, took a small break, and then came back, one full pass. And now I want to go back annually. Ted, a lot of people do. I know there are many people, some friends of mine even, that make annual trips just to go out there and run that stretch of road. If you do, plan on 30 minutes in each direction, Ted advises. And for goodness sake, stop at the gift shop. It's the best I've ever seen. Everything is high quality, good prices, and relevant. Shout out to the gift shop there. Many gift shops can do maybe two of those things, but have the hardest time hitting all three. This one does, so bring money. I spent $80, but could have spent double, and it's a drive that is worthy of that kind of commemoration.
It's not that bad, though.
No, it's not bad.
That's not, you know. Hell, I think that's a ticket to Disney World right now, $160. So
yeah. I'm gonna skip ahead just a little bit here to keep it more driving focused. My three keys to the drive itself were: one, drive well within the limit of the car and you. Yep. This ain't the place to find the edges of those limits at all. Two, keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise. Okay. Keep it like between that. The mustard and the mayonnaise. Maybe a little bacon in there. Maybe a little bacon, but mustard and the mayonnaise. Three, keep it smooth. Good advice for anybody. If you want to really have thrashing action, go to the track. I remember the first time I went to a regular track. It was Gingerman Raceway in South Haven, Michigan. It's about 3.5 hours from me now. Back then, it was just a much smaller track. It's bigger these days, but it's just a track kind of in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's an easy track to drive. It's a difficult track to drive really well, but there's only one wall to hit, and you have to be really stupid up by the pits. That's a great place to learn your limits, because if you really mess up, you slide off into the grass and that's it. Tail of the Dragon, you slide off into one cliff, two, tree,
a lot, three, lots of trees,
air. So yeah, drive within your limits, keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise, keep it smooth. I'm going to wrap up the email there. Ted, I appreciate you so, so much sending this in, sharing this story with us. Tell us your stories, folks, podcast@motorone.com. We love to share them. I'll cap this off by doing a quick shout out to Iron Mountain Road. That was a road near me in South Dakota that's, in my opinion, is every bit as equal to Tale of the Dragon, but it doesn't get anywhere near the same coverage, I think, that Tale of the Dragon does. And I'm not really sure why, because there's a freaking website for it. I mean, it's not like it's some secret road that nobody knows about. A few weeks ago, Porsche released a video of a 911 just, you know, doing some nice twisty driving. And I recognized the road instantly and I was like, holy crap, that's Iron Mountain Road. I've been on that road many, many times. In the wintertime, they actually close off the highest portion just because they don't maintain it. They don't plow it. But when it warms up out there in the wintertime, and it does a lot, that portion will be open. So you go out there like in January or February after a couple, two or three days where the weather's been nice, the road is clear and it's dry and there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. And I have enjoyed the hell out of that road.
My version of that is Ohio Route 550. It joins where I went to college in Athens, Ohio, to basically where my grandparents live. And it actually goes a little bit farther. It is a fantastic piece of road. And like you said, no one knows about it. And it's heavenly. It's just, you know, if you're driving it in the fall, there's gorgeous trees to look at. Even if you're driving it in the summer, you know, it's full of like undulations and stuff like that. You're kind of in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. And if you're driving it in the winter, fingers crossed.
I will say Iron Mountain Road in the summertime, there's a lot of tourist traffic because it is right there at Mount Rushmore. One end starts at the eastern side of Custer State Park, which is a pretty popular park out there. And it ends on the highway at the base of Mount Rushmore. You make a left turn, you go about a mile and a half on up the hill and you're there at Mount Rushmore. In between, how many curves is it? I've got it looked up here. 17 miles, 314 curves.
Wow.
14 switchbacks, 3 pigtails. And by that, I mean the road.
What's a pigtail? I've never even heard of that.
I think it's 2 360 degree corners stacked on top of one another as you're spiraling down.
Wow.
before you go into one of several tunnels that's carved through the granite. And there are a couple spots along the road where you have some pretty good views of Mount Rushmore. Actually, if we got a little bit of time here, don't we?
I'm here for you, buddy.
Let me do a quick share screen.
I already got the show by showing Ken Block's video. So what are you gonna do?
We're just gonna buy YouTube. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
IronMountainRoad.com. It's not a secret. There's a website. There is a visitor center and store. Honestly, I never stopped at it. I didn't even know one existed. I think I kind of know where it's at. It's in this weird location. But yeah, it's a fantastic road. The scenery is amazing. There's a look at the pigtail going down, oh, Bruce, wow. Right there.
Yeah, I see.
So
it there.
Yeah, I mean, it literally spirals down into a tunnel. Might actually be that tunnel right there. And yeah, this view of Mount Rushmore is right there on Iron Mountain Road. Just a fantastic drive. And I'm happy to share that because I think it's one of the best kept secrets. It's one of the best kept driving destination, secretive driving destinations in the world. One of the reasons I actually moved out to South Dakota many, many years ago was because I really enjoyed just the roads and the driving. In Rapid City, I could go up into the mountains, into the Black Hills, have beautiful mountain drives, or I could turn right and just head out into the prairie and literally have straight, clear roads for miles if I just wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I remember
bust along driving the speed limit because I obey the law, people.
But I remember you went on vacation a few times and you would share photos with us. And then the Badlands, yeah, it's just flat and you kind of just. It's gorgeous. It's the Badlands.
Yep. Although and then you can turn around and get up into the hills like they're Iron Mountain Road. So when I saw Porsche with that video, I was like, oh, they're starting to learn. And that's just one of many roads that I found out there. Man, I could put together 2 weeks of driving heaven for anybody out there. On road, off road, scenic drives, you name it. Maybe I should move back out there and start a business.
Someday.
That's tempting. That's someday. Well, yep. podcast@moto1.com. Email us some of your secret driving destinations that may not be secret once we get to them. But yeah, Bruce, this has been a good show.
It has been. I ruined this show by showing that Ken Block video. I thought by muting it, I would be fine. And I was wrong.
It's a hot video right now, so it's probably getting some extra attention. We've certainly ran other videos in the past without issues.
Muting them is the magic, the magic thing to do, but not this one. So sorry, folks.
We'll jump back up and we'll do some post production. We'll see if we get another video up there. Motor1.com on Twitter, Motor1.com on Facebook are the socials. Motor1 on YouTube. We're there 99.9% of the time.
Yep. I will say, so next week, tentatively, we have a guest, Brad Hansen, mm-hmm. who has been on the show twice before.
Yes.
He will be coming back, and his wife, Athena, might be joining us as well.
That would be awesome.
Depending on what her timetable is like. So we'll definitely have Brad. We might have Athena. Looking forward to talking to them. We're going to be talking about some Radwood stuff because they are big into that. The reason that we invited them both on is they were at a recent Radwood thing and they dressed up. For anyone who knows Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, that song, Brad and his wife dressed up as the two members of Wham. And so we wanted to talk to them about cars and car events and stuff like that. So that will be next week. Like I said, yeah, we'll definitely have Brad, might have Athena. We'll see where that goes.
Very cool. Really looking forward to that. You definitely want to tune in for that. Are we going to do any sort of cheap car challenge on that one, Bruce? I know Brad, last time he was on, he was like, we got to do a cheap car challenge. We should set up some kind of cheap car challenge for next week.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ramblers, you want to set us up again? Give us a new cheap car challenge for next week.
And the other guy, I got to be honest with you. Was it something Ridgely? Michael Ridgely? No, because that's George Mike. Something Ridgely. I can't remember the man's name. I apologize. Anyway, but yeah, we'll definitely do a cheap car challenge because he wants to do one. We love doing them. So
yeah. Not? And hey, if you got a cheap car challenge, let us know. Email podcast@motor1.com.
Yep.
Email it over. Special cheap car challenge for next week.
And with that, since I screwed up this show, I might as well end this show. Thank you, everyone who listened. Thank you for the people that stuck around after I ruined this.
We're good.
I feel bad about this one. Thank you for everyone who came back. We really appreciate you all. We're coming on to the end of the year. What we'll probably do, what we've done in years past, is Smith and I will gang tape two episodes. So we'll do kind of one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, and the Thursday one will be like all just like letters or all like cheap car stuff. We'll figure it out. But that's what we'll do for Christmas this year. That's what we've done in the past. But yeah, we love all of you folks. We really appreciate you joining us. And so good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. And thank you all for staying with us. And we really appreciate you. So with that, bye-bye.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.